My name is Cassandra. I live in a little town called Spruce Pine, North Carolina, that was directly affected by Hurricane Helene. Anybody in their right mind thinking that outside people should not be speaking on what the government has done or is not doing to our area is insanity to me. As someone who is here at Ground Zero in Mitchell County, North Carolina, it is going to take you as the creators on this app to speak up to get us help here. Because I will tell you, our government is not doing a damn thing for us.
Get here. We need you. We need people experiencing hiking. There is only a few ways to these people. It is to foot, horseback, or helicopter. Dirt bikes, ATVs, side-by-sides. If you have them and can get to East Tennessee or Western North Carolina, we need you. Do not listen to the news when they tell you that they don't want you, they don't need you. I'm telling you, I am here. I live here. I have been already. I'm telling you, we need you. We want you here.
I'm going down this road feeling bad. Why I'm going down this road feeling bad. I'm going down this road feeling bad.
Alright guys, we're out of here. Here's where the fucking road goes. We're transporting all the pets, all of our shit. This is basically what's stopping us from getting out of here.
And I ain't gonna be treated.
My house washed away. I had a cat, 2 geckos. I lost it all.
I'm going where that chill wind never blows. Lord, I'm going where that chill wind never blows. I'm going where that chill wind never blows.
People's lives could have been saved, and the blood is going to be on the hands of those that did not allow that person who could go help to go help.
Medical support trailer that's here by volunteers. They have doctors and registered nurses. They're all licensed doctors and registered nurses. They were told they couldn't do what they were doing because it was not being federally controlled or something along those lines.
I'm going where the climate suits my clothes. Why I'm going where the climate suits my clothes. I'm going where the climate suits my clothes, and I ain't gonna be treated this way.
I want to show you what Swannanoa looks like right now, at least the area that we're in. You can see there is still quite a bit of debris right there behind me, and it just goes for miles. I mean, there are cars that are abandoned all across this area, and it's not that they're not coming out here and picking up and starting the recovery process. It's just that there is so much damage.
This is the state of North Carolina. This is the area that's without power still. This is also the state of North Carolina. This yellow outline is the country of Belgium that I've overlaid for scale. This is the scale. 230,000 customers without power means households. Based on U.S. Census data, the average household size here is about 3, which means we're talking about 600,000 to 700,000 people who have not had power for a week. That is an emergency by itself. If you don't have power for a week, then if you had food stored in the freezer, no, you don't. If you had breast milk, insulin stored in the fridge, no, you don't. You don't get to run your CPAP machine. 750,000 people without power for a week should make headline news by itself. But power outages are unfortunately one of the mildest of problems. Water is also out. Cell coverage is out. If you're seeing people posting from this area, there's a good likelihood they're having to drive miles to do that. And that is if they have a car that wasn't destroyed, if they can get gas somehow, and if they have roads they can drive miles on. These are the road closures. Okay? And these roads are not closed because there's some water on them. They're closed because they look like this now.
What do the states of the storm zone need, Mr. President? What do the states of the storm zone, what do they need after what you saw today?
Oh, in the storm zone?
Yes, sir.
I'm wondering what storm you're talking about. They're getting everything they need. And they're very happy.
While this thing has been disgustingly, and I do mean disgustingly, politicized in recent days,
I appreciate you giving me a call.
Okay, well, know that we want to do everything we can, and, you know, I say as a devout public servant, I know how bureaucracy can sometimes get in the way of speed, so please let everyone know if there are things that you need, if it's taken too long to get to you, okay?
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
And I get that there's an election going on and everything, but on the same day that Kamala is sending camera crews and lighting equipment down to a place with no electricity to film both sides of her phone call about how she's a devout public servant, on that same day she shared that on her official X account, she also shared this post about how they're going to give $157 million of additional assistance to the people of Lebanon for essential needs such as food, water, and shelter, which brings the total to $385 million.
This woman done come out after she just told us a few days ago that we exhausted all of our resources. We're so sorry. This is all we can do for you. Then she shows up to Charlotte. Not even close. Not even to Asheville. She shows up to Charlotte and to the Dream Center and putting stuff in bags like she really cares. And then with 24 hours, what does she do? What does she do? She sends $157 million to Lebanon because she is worried about their protection and their security, and they need food and water and shelter.
I just think it's a little lacking in self-awareness to stage a phone call with the mayor of Asheville and post that on the same day you're posting this.
This is probably one of the coolest things I've ever seen. As far as you can see, semi-trucks, side-by-sides trucks, and they're in here cutting.
And they don't know these people from Adam. And we've got trees over here, people over here, getting ready to go up here to this barn, this house. So we're just here to help these people here. We don't have an organization or anything, but they're just here.
There has been some amazing and heroic scenes of bravery.
Today, my husband left to go help out. He took a truckload of supplies. He's meeting up with an organization there, and I don't know when he will be back.
People working all night long, building bridges, and just really doing everything they can to try and help people in this situation.
That was the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. Grovestone Mountain in Asheville is now unpassable. You got 4 days of power up there. I gave every single drop. I even pulled back out of my personal tank. It was roughly, it's a 210 gallon tank, and I gave it everything I had. And the needle was below E when I got there. And both the city and Verizon Techs and even people, neighbors and stuff, were like, there's no way you're gonna make it. Well, mother, I made it there and back, so. That's my tower.
And somebody posted this video of trying to get out when this was happening and what it looked like. And again, I just don't think most people realize this flash flooding happened so quickly. So quickly it went from, you know, a little bit of rain to we can't get down the street, that there wasn't any way for people to leave. This was a lot of people saying they weren't getting any warning at all. They heard nothing. It was raining a little bit. And then all of a sudden, the water has risen and it's done. You're not going anywhere. And the mudslides, you just have to see with your own eyes.
You sure we're okay?
Yeah.
And so you're talking about a wall of water and mud in some cases that went into people's houses all the way up to the ceiling. And so there are people who were swept away trying to escape in their cars by water, or whose houses were swept away with them in it. And there were people whose houses filled up with this mud and they couldn't get out, or their cars filled up with it while they were trying to escape and they couldn't get out. The count of the people who have perished in this is going to be difficult to tally for some time, because there are a lot of people who were lost in this water and mud.
Every single X that you see on a car or structure is the sign of something searched. There are 1, 2, 3 vehicles here, 1 shed, that makes 4, and countless other structures that can't even be accessed.
That they just haven't been able to get to them yet.
Avery counties have, as of yesterday, had 2 fatalities, but there's a lot more. There's several missing people that a dozen or more that we know that were actually saw swept away that we haven't located. So I think as the days go on, this number is going to get drastically worse.
It feels like a literal war zone right now. But the thing that I'm just trying to tell you, everything that I'm seeing, and be very transparent, we have seen some federal agents around the Swannanoa area starting late last night that I've heard of, and I have seen some personally today. There are Border Patrol in the Swannanoa area along Highway 70. They're doing body recovery, and I think they're kind of guarding some of the areas where they think that there are more, from the word that I'm hearing. They're putting orange X's on everything that they check. So they'll have an orange X and then they'll have a 0, or there'll be somewhere else that there's an orange X and one had an 11. And that is the body count that was found inside.
With they being the National Guard, have marked over 100 bodies in a 6-mile stretch of river. Possible bodies, yeah. Just where they think they are. You can't see them, guys. And I had to explain to him something that had to be explained to me, even as a rescuer. When I watched the National Guard and they confirmed that the smells I had been smelling were most likely bodies, I was like, well, where are they so I can get to them? You can't get to them. They're crushed in debris. They're up in trees. They're under sediment. They're under sand. Unfortunately, it will be a very long time before you find all these people.
The body count is astronomically higher than what we are being told. He said that they found 36 bodies in one embankment alone. He also said it's true that bodies are being found in trees. He said that looting has started, and if we knew how bad it really was, we would be rioting in the streets. So,
the Tag 14 is dead in the water. We're in a Mayday situation. We have the AMRAP in front of us with no way out of this water.
We have multiple people, including juveniles, trapped. Are any resources available to send our way? Over.
I have a 13-year-old, 1-3-year-old in a house with no oxygen, no power.
Okay. Receiving multiple 911 calls about multiple fatalities, houses collapsed.
I need help getting people out of River Street. I still can't get them all out of here.
10-4, I'm heading your way.
If they don't move any faster, we're all going to be cooked.
Says there are 25 families stuck. They painted an X in a nearby field. They needing supplies.
Daughter got rescued last night from the Subaru Outback. She's at Perkinsville School. The neighbors saw her parents were trying to get out, and a Toyota Tacoma got swept away.
My kids and my mom will be coming out to the interstate. I need you to grab them, please.
Where are they at?
There's a 2,000-pound propane tank coming down the main channel of the river just past our location.
Fire Central and Fire and Search and Rescue on scene. Confirmed 2 10-7s.
Thank you. 1100, you copy?
Yes, sir.
You can get a hold of my wife.
Keep all of those who have been affected in your prayers, and keep all of those who are helping in your prayers.
There are videos coming out that it has been 8 days in some of these areas before anybody has seen any boots on their particular ground. 8 days. 8 days without food, without water, without power. 8 days. And a lot of people are saying it's not their fault that they weren't allowed to go in there. They weren't given orders. Days went by before any of these people were allowed to go in. So I just want to say thank you to everyone who suggested donating to United Cajun Navy. The things they're doing in the air and on the ground, and they really are getting out there and helping people, having a big impact. But in the last couple days since October 6th, I've been seeing video now of their donation sites getting rotor washed by black helicopters. The first one I saw was from October 6th. You had a black helicopter come in and hover over the donation site and then fly in real low and just blow everything all over the ground. And, you know, people are getting hurt, supplies are getting destroyed. And there's talk that transponders are being turned off so that these things cannot be tracked. And it's not the first time it's happened either now. There was another reporting of this happening, at least one other, if not two more reports of the same thing. So somebody is actively working to destroy citizen donation sites that are being set up through these organizations to try to help people. It's one of the sickest, most twisted things I think I've seen yet. Make it make sense, as the Cajun Navy said. They wrote, y'all were trying really hard to stay out of the conspiracy space, but some people aren't making it easy. This actually happened to a distribution site we supplied in Western North Carolina. Make it make sense, please. And there really isn't any way to make that make sense without entering a conspiracy space. But, you know, at this point, guys, we really have to stop being scared of these words and these labels, because this stuff is happening. And I can't believe I'm even about to say this after everything I've seen, but apparently the Connecticut National Guard is investigating, or at least reporting on the investigation into the Black Hawk rotor wash incident. And they're saying that the initial investigation indicates the helicopter in this video belongs to the North Carolina National Guard, and that the pilots have now been grounded until a further investigation can be completed. But in the meantime, what the actual fuck?
Any contractor, any car that comes through here must help the residents. You must give everything. No. You must help the residents, and you've got to do it. Yeah, I want you both of your names, because I seriously, it's going all the way to the governor's office.
We're 8 days, 9 days post-hurricane, and that was the first FEMA drop I've seen here in the Swannanoa area.
One helo come in, and I was told that was FEMA, and that was it.
Today was the first FEMA delivery that I've seen or I've heard of in the entire region.
I went to put a couple of people into a hotel last night, and they have a security guard at the hotel. And I said, oh, we're so sorry. The entire hotel has been booked for federal employees. And I was like, no, I have people that would just pull it out of a mountain.
Hey, you've seen them turning people away, though?
Yeah. They've turned people away for the last 2 days. 2 days, they've turned trucks and trucks and trucks.
That's where Jackie had to come back full.
We just seen water come back down here where they just turned them around, told them no.
If you're reading about FEMA online and wondering if they're really a pain in the tail, I can confirm it is true. I tried to send in a pallet of chainsaws 2 days ago, and we had to divert it somewhere away from FEMA because they wanted to confiscate. FEMA, those ain't your chainsaws.
Western North Carolina, Asheville, you know, that whole area, wherever they can land and drop off supplies. And FEMA has flown in like 10 or more helicopters and blocked a runway here at Greenville downtown. Okay, here's the helicopters that are blocking one of the runways here at Greenville downtown, all flown in by FEMA helicopter pilots. And they're just sitting there doing nothing. Greenville Aviation over here taking in all kind of supplies, everything that people want to drop off. There's a huge operation going on over here. Yesterday we ran about 30-something planes, and they came in and halted. FEMA came in and halted all that operation.
Today it's awfully quiet, and we see these helicopters lined up, and they have a booth set up here and everything. Turns out that's FEMA. FEMA has shut down all the local donation operations that were going on and delivering supplies, and now they're saying that they're not allowed to deliver any more supplies anymore. So all these people are, unfortunately, have all these supplies but cannot take it up there. So that's our government for you. Oh, and another thing, those helicopters that have been sitting there, I've been sitting there since this morning. Haven't seen a single movement, just a bunch of impacking of important equipment and nothing happening. So I'm so sorry, North Carolina.
We're trying to get some long-term emergency water to the people in North Carolina, and they're being told that they need special requirements from FEMA in order to enter these certain areas. And so we're trying to find the workarounds for that.
By now, everyone's heard about what's going on in the western part of Carolina, eastern Tennessee, Florida, Georgia. Donate. Please donate what you can. Try to find a nonprofit to donate to, a church, local PD. A lot of those are taking donations, sheriff's departments. I know my department is running a bunch of stuff to the western part of the state to help donate. But please do not donate to FEMA. They are hindering a lot of what people are trying to accomplish out in the western part of the state. FEMA doesn't understand that these Appalachian people are built differently. I am very familiar with them. They are not going to stand by idly and have government officials tell them what to do. FEMA's playing a game of FAFO because free men don't ask for permission. Again, please donate and help these people out. They need us now more than ever.
So I'm just going to stop there because so many videos, dozens upon dozens, if not hundreds of videos, are now up on social media of people saying basically the same thing. If I just spent hours and hours of my life, I could collect them all and probably make you half an hour long montage of just the same story over and over and over. But we have other things to talk about.
I'm here with the FEMA administrator. We've been all over Western North Carolina talking with first responders. We are grateful for the work that FEMA has done.
So many stories like this now are coming out of the area that FEMA has responded by putting up a Helene Rumors website for rumor control. Meanwhile, the point I just want to make is all of these videos that people are making where they're talking about being blocked by FEMA or turned around or all these people, their handles and their faces are on these videos. These people are putting their names and faces behind what they're saying, left and right, all over the place. I mean, that woman is a realtor in the area. She is well known to many people. If she's just blatantly out and out lying, her entire community knows her. She's a realtor. You know what I'm saying? Her name is right out there. Her face is out there. She's not hiding who she is making these claims. None of these people are hiding who they are. They're all putting their faces directly on camera and they're saying, this is what I'm seeing. This is what is happening with FEMA. So are all of them liars? That's a really bizarre phenomenon for a whole bunch of people to get together and put their face and their name on camera and then just blatantly lie. It doesn't prove they're not lying, but it'd be really weird to just have hundreds of liars all of a sudden all getting on camera being like, here's my name, here's my face, and I'm just going to tell you some blatant lies that you can't find me later and check up on. I mean, do you see what I'm saying?
She's sitting here telling us that go online, apply. Well, okay, hundreds of us still don't have power.
People are saying they're having issues applying for the aid, that they're being turned down.
Because you're telling us to go online to FEMA and apply, and you'll get immediate help for $750.
Hi, I'm Marty, and I'm with FEMA. And I'm here to talk to you about the assistance that you can receive from FEMA. There's been a lot of talk about the $750 as your initial assistance. Well, that $750 is to help you with food and water and your essential needs right now.
Well, okay. I went on FEMA, I applied, and I immediately got denied.
Everybody in my area that I've talked to, including myself, who applied for the $750 assistance payment from FEMA, has been denied.
I did apply for FEMA assistance and was denied.
I just want everyone to know that we are displaced due to Hurricane Helene from Western North Carolina. We cannot go home. We have no power, no food, no water, no nothing. We are spending $400 a night on a hotel due to price gouging in the surrounding areas because they know that people have nowhere to go. We applied for FEMA, myself and my sister applied. My sister applied first. She got denied. I said, okay, let me try. I applied. We got denied. So everyone's saying FEMA is helping, $750. And by the way, that $750 wouldn't even cover two nights at this hotel.
There were numerous videos of that. And the local news was reporting that if victims put up a GoFundMe or tried to crowdfund themselves for what they've just been through in any way, they will not be eligible. It says survivors may not be eligible for federal assistance if they are receiving crowdfunded donations for types of assistance covered. And it says, will survivors automatically receive money when they register? No. FEMA determines eligibility on a case-by-case basis. So that is what is being reported.
So I just want everyone to know that FEMA sucks.
FEMA's here. You know what FEMA just told us? We can't get you a phone. I have no ID. I have no way to pay for food. He has no way to get gas. We're stuck. So we have to sleep in a car that's leaking with the same clothes we've had on since the...
So Glenn Beck and Congressman Mills showed up to the FEMA truck they found parked, I guess, in the back of a parking lot somewhere in Asheville, North Carolina, to ask some questions about what that's about.
Hey, guys. Good. How are you?
What can I do for you?
Well, I'm Glenn, and
Glenn,
this is Congressman
Mills. Congressman Mills, how you doing?
We're
man?
Just wondering what you guys are up to.
Basically, getting in the system. And you guys got here today? We've been here for 2 days. We got here yesterday. Yesterday, we didn't have any connectivity, so we took 2,800 people, as near as we could count, coming through the food distribution line and through the gas station and handed them all these flyers. We didn't have flyers to hand them. Our flyers weren't here, but they could take pictures of our flyer, which told them they could go online, they could make a phone call, they could use a app to go online, just to get them in the system.
These people don't have phones. Some of them do, but a lot of people lost everything.
The app is great. The app, they can go on, they can upload documents through the app, so they don't need us.
Can I ask a question? And nonstop. One of the biggest problems, though, is that most people don't have the ability, one, to even get on their phones to verify what is going on. How does people even know that this location exists?
So that would be the news media's job.
They don't have a way to charge the phone, even if they do have it. And they definitely don't have television so that they can watch the news media. I don't understand how they're saying that's the media's job to tell people we're here and where we are. That's not FEMA's job?
They don't have power.
None of the news media. Well, I mean, I watch the news.
Well, no, the people who need the FEMA assistance don't have power. People who need the FEMA assistance don't have power.
The reason I'm tossing in this Glenn Beck thing is because he and Congressman Mills asked basic-ass questions of these people. Basic questions. And I swear you could put the soundtrack to the sitcom The Office underneath this interaction that they had, because that's the level of competence this situation had. Okay? First of all, they put their truck in a place where it's not in the main area. Mills is like, you know, isn't it a little common sense to maybe put the truck where people can freaking see it?
How do people know you're here?
We just got here.
You just got here?
We were here yesterday.
Yeah.
And today's our first day with this unit.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow we're going to move the unit up by the car wash. Yesterday we couldn't do anything besides give them the information because we didn't have any Wi-Fi.
Right.
I will say, and this is just someone who's... We got lucky enough. Glenn actually spotted it before I did. But I think even having this vehicle more towards the front of the road where people even know that it exists, where for visibility with people coming by might actually...
Yeah, we were in a van with eight people. I was the only one that saw it.
That's what we're going to do. That's what we got to do. The guy that's running the parking lot, who's a different guy, I didn't know that. He said, so the car wash would be better. And I was like, boy, that's really smart.
And then they're talking about how it's not their job to tell people they're there. That's the media's job to tell people they're where they are. And
how does people even know that this location exists?
So that would be the news media's job.
They're just supposed to sit there. They just show up, park their car in some place no one's looking, and then expect everyone to figure it out.
That would be the news media's job to tell everyone.
But they don't have power.
That's basically what it sounds like.
Well, you'd be surprised.
They watch TV. You would be surprised. They sit in their cars to charge their phones and listen to the radio.
Then he says they're going to go door to door.
Those who won are either cut off in the location, because we're still rebuilding roads, obviously, at Cable Rest, or doesn't have power, won't know about even where this truck exists or if it does exist.
Right, and there's no way actually. So we're DSA disaster survivor systems, right? So what we actually do, we work items like these, and we actually go door to door. We go door to door and try to knock on every door in the county. And we go at the direction usually of the emergency manager, because the fire chiefs are going to tell us where people are.
Yeah.
Things are devastated, so we literally go door to door.
Then he says, well, no, maybe you should talk to my supervisor over there or whatever.
So when does that start?
That's way above my head. you're talking to Peon Eddie.
Yeah. Okay.
You're not talking. Do you want to talk to my crew? Do you want to talk to my crew lead?
Then they talk to her, and she says some stuff about going door to door.
We're wondering, we just asked, when do you guys go door to door? He was telling that...
After we get the general stuff done, you know, we got to hit the mass people first, wherever the mass people are. So the mass people are here. Let's get them into the system as quickly as possible. Once we get the masses done.
Actually go door to door.
Then she said, no, we don't go door to door. That's not my situation. That's someone else's situation.
We don't necessarily go door to door. Not my cadre anyways. There's 23 different cadres.
Oh, I know. I understand how the bureaucratic levels of departments work.
I mean, it's just like this bumbling clown show of ridiculous nonsense. I mean, but they got to make sure and sign people up and get them into the system, make them apply, make them prove everything, because, you know, we wouldn't want fraud. And I'm sure all of these people, as soon as they saw the giant wall of water and mud rushing at them full blast with almost no warning, I'm sure the first thing they did was go grab every important document they have that FEMA is going to require for them to sign up for this process. I'm sure they went and did that. I'm sure every single person who was involved in this had all of that just on their person already. They probably just carry that around with them all the time, like you do.
Actually go door to door. We go door to door, literally go door to door.
Then we start going door to door. We don't necessarily go door to door.
Actually, you know what? No, I think my favorite clip of this interaction is when she says, well, we're coming in from Charlotte and we're going to start around 9-10 o'clock, but we got to get out of here by 5 because, you know, we start tearing down. We got to go home. We got lives to live and things to do. And
okay, so that's where we're going to be set up tomorrow. And we should be doing registrations. We'll be here between 9 and 10. We're all coming in from Charlotte. He'll be here a little bit earlier. And then we'll start tearing down about 5 o'clock so that we can get out of here.
Great.
Other people are going to be sleeping in their car tonight, but whatever, you know, not my problem. What is this joke? Because it's a sick joke.
It goes back to my point, which is that, okay, so I need to fill out a form. I need to scan a flyer.
Yeah.
How do I know this exists? Oh, the local media. Okay, well, they don't have power.
Yeah.
They might not have a vehicle.
Right.
So what about
I saw a lot of them washed away.
That's right.
So if you're a victim of a disaster, better make sure that happens between 9 and 5 because, you know, they got things to do. They got lives to live. They have to come all the way from Charlotte. How sad is it to get your ass so owned that a congressman comes down and give you literally the most obvious advice ever uttered about how to do your own job?
This vehicle, more towards the front of the road where people even know that it exists.
Maybe you want to put the truck where people can see it.
I was like, boy, that's really smart.
I am not saying there aren't some good people in that agency, because every place has good people. But this is a very bad look. And I'm telling you right now, this was not planned. They did this to themselves. These are basic questions that they should be able to easily answer. I mean, this is just unbelievably mind-numbingly stupid, okay? And the longer I watch it, the more I feel like it is sucking IQ points out of my brain. I think if everyone found out how much money these people make, to do this job or not do it or sort of do it or whatever you call this interaction, they'd probably want to punch themselves in the face.
We lost everything. Family, friends, homes, our jobs, everything. Our animals. We have nothing. We got family members floating down a river.
And amidst all of this, you had the FEMA director go on national television and whine about her agency being criticized.
So much is going viral online as well. One user suggested yesterday that a militia should go against FEMA. It got more than 500,000 views. What kind of impact has this had on the recovery effort?
It has a tremendous impact on the comfort level of our own employees to be able to go out there, but it's also demoralizing to all of the first responders that have been out there in their communities helping people, FEMA staff, volunteers, the private sector that are working side by side with local officials to go out and help people. I need to make sure I can get the resources to where they're needed. And when you have this dangerous rhetoric like you're hearing, it creates fear in our own employees. We need to make sure we're getting help to the people who need it.
Because there's not enough victims on the ground right now. She's got to go ahead and make them be the victim. These people are unbelievable. She is right about one thing, though, which I posted earlier, and that's she should make sure she can get the resources to people who need it, because it's being reported that they can't go around road closed signs. So, you know, they're not going door to door.
We don't necessarily go door to door.
A lot of people don't have doors, and they're not going to get to a person if it requires anything. And by the way, when I posted this clip of the FEMA director, somebody came in and said, this is crazy. Nobody in those areas was complaining about FEMA. They were waiting desperately for their help. They did not complain until it was, once again, like always, like we're all used to by now, after years and years of watching this happen to people, disaster after disaster after disaster, until FEMA's delayed response, apparent inaction in the worst hit areas, poor strategy, and lack of connection to reality for victims' needs during and after a disaster became apparent.
It is funny, isn't it?
You could copy that comment that he just left, and you could paste it over every single disaster that has happened this entire century so far. It's not going to get better. This isn't getting better. This is like the slow motion Hindenburg of agencies. And, you know, if it was just some little whatever agency.
Paperwork reflects the demands of our citizens for service from their government.
They just push paper around in pneumatic tubes all day like the Brazil movie. That would be one thing, but it's not. It's the agency that's supposed to deal with emergency management. And what they've had in this particular case is their asses handed to them on a platter by civilians who are doing all of the heavy lifting.
Are you guys recording me?
he's filming.
And the reason FEMA is so universally loathed is because every single time there's a disaster going on for forever now, stories come out afterwards about evidence of fraud. Like, for example, during Hurricane Sandy, 60 Minutes did a whole thing on it. FEMA, evidence of fraud in Hurricane Sandy reports. Thousands of people who've been denied flood insurance claims for homes destroyed by Hurricane Sandy have been crying fraud. Now the executive in charge of the Federal Emergency Management Agency's insurance program tells 60 Minutes he has seen evidence of fraud in reports used to deny them their insurance payouts. In 2018, in an internal report, which has now been deleted off of FEMA's website, I had to go through archive.org to get it, the agency admitted disaster relief failures in Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria, including the rerouting of Puerto Rico's supplies to the Virgin Islands, leaving their stash of emergency supplies dangerously low, and admitting that because they decided to take on a more direct role in coordinating supply delivery instead of letting local agencies handle it, that it actually caused delays, that they had challenges tracking the resources. And if that sounds familiar to you, it might be because if you'll recall, in 2020, They ended up finding a massive amount of supplies locked up in a 43,000 square foot warehouse in Puerto Rico, where they'd just been sitting there untouched ever since Hurricane Maria hit in September 2017. And we all remember after Hurricane Katrina when George W. Bush said, "You're doing a heck of a job, Brownie," which
And Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
Became the sarcastic catchphrase for FEMA's botched response to Hurricane Katrina. I think we all remember that one. It's gone down in history.
And Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The FEMA director's working 24.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job. Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
And there are headlines where they claim they've learned from their failure. But you know what? No, I don't think they have. And to show you how much they haven't learned from their failure, it has now come out that FEMA is literally sitting on billions of dollars in unused disaster funds that are just sitting in a government account, not being used for anything, and they won't release those funds to be used for this. This actually came out buried in an August report from the Department of Homeland Security's Office of Inspector General, which found $8.3 billion that's been sitting there for disasters that were declared in 2012 or earlier. And as Real Clear Investigations reports, this is an age-old game that happens, and it doesn't matter what administration it is.
But this audit actually came out just a couple months ago, showing that they have $8 billion in funding basically lying around not being used because they've already promised it to victims of storms from 2012 or earlier. So you've got storms like Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Sandy caused a ton of damage. Now, that money still hasn't been spent, because the construction projects to recover from those hurricanes have been delayed so many years, and FEMA is not enforcing those deadlines. So they set the deadline originally. They said, okay, you have until, say, 2020, 2021 to spend this money, use it to recover from the storm. When that doesn't happen, instead of saying, okay, too bad, you took too long, now we're going to take the money away, they just award deadline extensions based on what auditors say working for FEMA are subjective criteria. So they say, okay, now you can have until 2030 to spend this money. It's fine. So it just keeps sitting around in these government bank accounts, not being used to help anyone, not going towards Helene, just a number on a piece of paper, pretty much.
So when Mayorkas said they're expecting another hurricane and don't have the funds to cover it, that's actually not the case. They do. They're just not using them.
And Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
And yet, we have the FEMA director going on TV whining about how they're the victim.
It has a tremendous impact on the comfort level of our own employees.
You're doing a heck of a job.
And by the way, guys, this agency gets $30 billion a year, okay? $30 billion a year. What for?
We lost everything, family, friends, homes, our jobs, everything, our animals. We have nothing. You know what FEMA just told us?
And so at the same time you have Americans on the ground affected by this who don't have an ability to go online or download their app, or they have to take pictures with their phone of the flyer to even get the information. At the same time, this administration is announcing $157 million more dollars, bringing the total to $385 million specifically for essential needs such as food, water, and shelter to the people of Lebanon. Rightfully, you have people on the ground in North Carolina asking, are they going to make those people go online and download an app to apply?
Are we going to make them apply? Are we going to make them go online and fill out applications for this assistance? No. No, we're not.
Still have to go through and verify the damages that have been done.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that you own the house and that you are the renter.
So that you can limit the amount of fraud which we've seen in other areas.
We got it. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
And you want to know why we, the American, the real American people, don't like you.
They're saying the money is needed for this crisis is being diverted to migrants. What a ridiculous thing to say. It's not true.
We are meeting the immediate needs,
With the money that we have, we are expecting another hurricane hitting. We do not have the funds. FEMA does not have the funds to make it through the season.
And now, with the Biden era, FEMA has taken on new unprecedented roles without any clear constitutional basis and well outside of the popular conception of their agency's purpose. A key example of this is the Biden administration's Justice 40 initiative, operated within FEMA as the BRIC, Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities Grant Program, has already funneled billions of dollars into what is basically an embarrassing misuse of public funds. And sure, that headline came out of Fox News, who obviously opposed the Biden administration. But come on, I mean, look at what is happening. It reeks of mission creep. The Biden administration's Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, their 2022 to 2026 strategic plan outlines three ambitious goals, with the first focusing on equity as the death toll from the Hurricane Helene surpasses 100. That was several days ago. FEMA's first goal under this initiative is to instill equity as the foundation of emergency management. The second is to lead the whole community in climate resilience. And the third aims to promote and sustain a ready FEMA and a prepared nation. Third, is the readiness of FEMA and a prepared nation. The third is actual disaster relief response. The first and second agenda points are purely political. Equity along some kind of identity politics basis, and climate change. Climate change, everything through the lens of climate change. Actual disaster response, third. Maybe when you're done with that. And by the way, it's a job that they can never finish. Goal one, instill equity as a foundation of emergency management. Yes, the actual direct disaster relief appears to be downgraded next to FEMA's goals of funding selected, quote, disadvantaged communities based on qualifiers such as susceptibility to climate change and socioeconomic and identity politics, including race and gender. This stuff over the places who actually need direct relief after they actually suffered weather events and natural disasters, after something actually happened. The places where something actually happened have been put in the back seat as this agency and this administration have focused on ideological, heavily politicized goals instead of actually just responding to the emergencies they were set up to deal with. It's incredible. It is embarrassing. I can't believe I'm reading this stuff. I kind of can, but apparently, based on these documents, FEMA's primary goal is apparently a highly politicized picking of winners and losers under this misguided and contradictory notion of equity. They're using skewed, politicized data to choose, quote, disadvantaged communities in the name of equity. It's not equal. It's not fair. It's not merit-based. They're picking winners and losers, but they call it equity. Whatever. Against its core mission of disaster response, which it apparently backseated. As much as 40% of FEMA's budget goes to communities that have been classified as eligible for funds based on highly dubious criteria that miss the point of helping those communities that have actually suffered emergency disasters. Why else do you exist, FEMA? Communities not designated as, quote, disadvantaged don't qualify for these programs, so they don't get the money in spite of what they may have suffered, in spite of whatever catastrophes, that FEMA would be really any kind of justified and proper and in line with their mission and using taxpayer dollars to address. I browse a little bit there in North Carolina, some of the areas in Texas that I'm familiar with, a little bit around the country, different places where they've applied a map, a so-called climate and economic justice screening tool that breaks down areas. Each city might have several dozen census data kind of mapped areas where they have shaded off areas designated as disadvantaged and marked others as not disadvantaged. And at best, if they're even doing what they claim to do, they're addressing systemic problems that are hardly the purview of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, however you want to slice it. But they're carving up $1 billion a year of federal money and sending it to very selective, very picking of winners and losers communities that have applied for these funds.
It's just categorically false. No, Biden did not take a FEMA relief money to use on migrants. Funding is also available through FEMA's Emergency Food and Shelter Program to eligible local governments and non-for-profit organizations upon request to support humanitarian relief for migrants.
And that ill-begotten policy pales in comparison to the even more controversial FEMA policies under the Biden administration in funding and fostering an unprecedented, unmitigated wave of undocumented immigrants, illegal immigrants, whatever you want to call them, through the Shelter and Services Program.
Congress allocated roughly $1 billion for migrant assistance. The Shelter and Service Program helps distribute funds to help communities provide services to migrants, such as temporary shelter, food, and urgent medical care. And FEMA says on its website that disaster relief money has not been diverted for other non-disaster related efforts.
This is Savannah Hernandez in Brunswick, Maine, reporting to you from the apartments where migrants are getting their rent paid for up to 2 years. Now, I wanted to give you guys a first inside look at these units. The migrants shared with us that they come furnished. So they have a flat screen TV in there, couches, tables and chairs. We also asked them as well, hey, are you paying utilities here? They shared with us that nope, they do not have a water bill. They do not have an electricity bill.
We don't pay anything.
Because there is a housing crisis going on currently for residents, and these buildings were initially created for Maine residents, but then it was decided that homeless migrants would be living here. Now, as an American, you can rent out one of these units, but a one-bedroom is going to run you about $1,800, and a two-bedroom is going to run you about $2,300. This is the same county that has received FEMA funding from that same program that spent almost $1 billion through the fiscal year of 2023 and 2024 on sheltering illegal immigrants throughout the United States of America.
And then flowed in funds to handle these people that weren't really supposed to be coming in, but they knew they were coming, and they just opened the gates for it.
FEMA said, and you can take this as a direct quote, said that they are too tied up at the border to send any more representatives. Yeah, at the border. So anyhow, I guess border control trumps whatever's going on here.
That program, Shelter and Services, has been jointly operated in the Biden administration by FEMA and the Customs and Border Patrol. And cameras showed waves of those immigrants who were being directly ushered into the country by Customs and Border Protection officers who've been dicks to me every time I've been at the border, you know, and they're letting them in and high-fiving. It's as if they're winking at these people, that they're elevating the perception of this problem in anticipation of a response that's coming. Of course, these people are human beings. I'm very sympathetic to the humanistic nature of this, but there's a pre-planned response going on here. There's another level of the surveillance society solution that's going to further erode freedoms for all Americans, including newly immigrated, including those who've been here since the founding of the country. And this issue that's been heavily promoted on TV and heavily politicized, it's been riling up the Trump right. On the basis of this issue, blatantly, flamboyantly exacerbated under the Biden administration, and is cheering on what is soon to be the implementation of a biometric ID check at the border, a Trump policy for digital control overlay that's been planned all along. And really, it didn't originate with Trump either. It goes back at least to the Clinton and Bush administrations. I guess it depends on when the actual technology was thought of. These are some of the deeper things going on as this immediate emergency takes place. You look at the absurd policies, the waste of money and resources, and the contempt for people. This is the kind of context that comes to mind when we learn here in the middle of hurricane season that FEMA has run out of money again for the second year in a row. What are they spending their money on? You know, stuff that's going to make people really pissed off, and should. The Biden administration's FEMA equity plan faces backlash amid historic hurricane damage. Well, what do you expect? What do you expect? So it's not just Fox News, actually. A shameful embarrassment as people in need in North Carolina and the southern states on the coast still have been missing, have been unable to obtain food and water.
We have got to rebuild everything.
and are now enduring uninsured losses of their homes, stuff that isn't going to be covered.
My uncle has lived in St. Pete, Florida for his entire adult life. So quite some time. He's 73 years old. He actually worked for the city in public transit for 20 years. Home was completely destroyed in Helene. He had evacuated, did what he was supposed to do. He's up in a hotel and paying for the hotel himself. Comes back to his home and it's gutted. Basically, all of his possessions are gone. The home is uninhabitable. FEMA comes in. They're there for 5 minutes. They didn't even go through the whole home. They tell him it'll be 8 to 10 business days before you hear anything. We're going to go back and look at everything. We'll let you know. All right, cool. He gets an email this morning with the results of what FEMA is going to give to him. My uncle, and a lifelong American citizen, good, hardworking, salt of the earth kind of fella, guess how much they're going to give him? $2,600.
The confusion of refusing help from local people, from local organizations, when the agency cries for more money, money and power, that is the money and power under the pretense that it intends to help the communities of this country. What is it actually doing? And by the way, this is money that the federal government is shoveling towards them under the pretense that this agency actually intends to help the communities of this country, and that the reason they're not helping is because of lack of money. But when they're actually on the ground, how do they actually behave?
And Governor, as you and I talked to President Biden and Vice President Harris, they have committed that we will be here to provide any resource you need until all of their needs are met.
I don't know. I guess it depends if you just believe some kind of straightforward mainstream account or if you try to actually look at what's going on.
An American citizen is worth $2,600 to our government.
FEMA will continue to ask for immediate needs funding, and they'll pretty much get it. I don't think they've ever been refused, but that's only whenever and wherever specifically, county by county, that the president officially declares an emergency. And some of the places hit by this hurricane were not in those declarations, by the way. This is the context in which Congress has set up FEMA for failure. They've set them up to fail, with one side trying to defund them and the other trying to expand their powers and spending into ridiculous, unrelated, untenable, creeping mission areas. Squabbles and funding fights over extremes in position, politicized to people's detriment, dysfunctional in so many ways. But they're also playing with our sense of reality and try to interfere with our ability to question things and toy with our sense of whether or not we're imagining things.
President Biden is fond of saying, show me your budget and I will tell you what you value. If he's got money for people in Lebanon right now without Congress having to come back, what does it say about his values? There's not enough money right now for
his
people
values,
in North Carolina
his- who need it.
That's not misinformation.
Wait. No, that is. Your whole premise of the question is misinformation, sir.
Excuse
what you don't...
Me?
Yes,
which
it's misinformation.
I just mentioned
to you that we provided more than $200 million to folks who are impacted in the area. And I just shared with you that people are deciding
to Congress that there's not enough money to help people in North Carolina.
We're talking about the SBA disaster loan.
For people in North Carolina.
And that's important, and people in North Carolina need that. Wait, this is nothing new. Peter, this is nothing new. Congress comes together, they provide money, millions of dollars, for disaster relief. We're asking them to do the job that they have been doing for some time.
From a letter that President Biden
sent
to Johnson, McConnell, Schumer, and Jeffries. The president's letter is not misinformation. Would you agree?
No, the way you're asking me the question is misinformation. There is money that we are allocating to the impacted areas, and there's money there to help people who truly need it. There are survivors who need the funding, and it's there.
You don't like misinformation.
What's happening is outrageous. What's happening is so infuriating and contemptible, and it's happened before, and it's going to happen again. It looks like it might be happening right now. Because things are not set up in a way that they can be called into account. You can't call out these things with the system they've set up. They've built in a protection for their lies. They've built in the inability for regular people to question what's happening. And FEMA and the federal government are delivering up major disappointment and failure in response to this emergency. Perhaps that's to be expected at this point. I've often wondered if they did nothing at all, if it wouldn't be better sometimes. FEMA is relatively recent as federal agencies go, though disasters are certainly not new, nor government mismanagement of them. It was only formed in 1979, towards the end of the Carter era. But since then, a whole new era has come with the Bush years and the Patriot Act, combining FEMA and dozens of other agencies under the Homeland Security umbrella.
If you see something suspicious, say something immediately.
A meta-federal agency formed that for a time was almost beyond questioning.
Somebody in your department could have, should have, or would have known about the operation.
Representative, we have hundreds of operations and thousands of agents on a daily basis, so.
But not beyond embarrassment. Hurricane Katrina was a major disaster, obviously, that the New Orleans community will probably never quite move on from, and the rest of the public mind will only just gradually forget. The disastrous response cost a great deal of lives and was very revealing of what FEMA is capable of, FEMA's true nature. Even after the failed levees and the gun confiscation,
we will be able to be armed. We will take all weapons.
Police officers shooting victims trying to cross the bridge to reach safety, the inhuman things that happened at the Superdome. Remember that later, once everything had settled and dislocated people were living in FEMA trailers that were provided for the victims, that those in turn, the trailers themselves paid for by federal dollars to relieve people in need, that those turned out to be making people sick in of themselves because of the toxic stuff inside those trailers.
Formaldehyde is an off-gassing product of, I think, the particle board and probably some of the other synthetic parts of the trailer.
Is this incompetence? Is it? Or what is really going on? Yeah. How much in disbelief should we be that that happened? What are the odds? I don't know. FEMA's inhumane mismanagement was typical of government on too big of a scale. Local response teams and community churches and charities were much more humane and much better at addressing people's needs because they're very close to average people. They're on the ground. They're not at the top of some hierarchy. At least that's how I see it. The topic itself of Katrina turned into a nested tesseract of corruption and neglect. So much so that post-Katrina legislation played upon this complex outrage in the form of legislative reform. For better, for worse, well, have things gotten better? Besides the agency's draconian service to the Homeland Security and Patriot Act fascist surveillance state overlay, which was very significant until it became basically normalized with a generation of Americans who learned to accept and cooperate with it, the Katrina debacle revealed the nature of big government at the very point at which average Americans who find themselves on the path of disaster more or less by happenstance, when those people are at their most vulnerable. It's the point of transaction for common people with the federal government when they're actually in need. And the confrontation, the clash between the image of good government and the American way is clearly devastating for many. The disillusionment, the reality of big government control. It's almost too much to believe, but it keeps happening. As a general observation, though many human individuals who are people work on behalf of the feds as an institution are not there in the spirit of helping people as a community or as individuals with personal sanctimony and self-respect. The Fed machine can't compute or think that way. It's a fundamentally different creature than the people who comprise our nation. This entity, who only knows its own terms of power, tends naturally to assert control, like it's a turf war, work in inefficiencies at best, and negligent cruelties towards its darker ends. This system only knows assistance on their own terms. The bureaucratic machine seeks its own continuation of power and has an appetite to ever increase its budget, scope, and jurisdiction. Plenty of people choose to remain ignorant of this nature. But it's to their own peril. At a minimum, are they giving assistance in a timely or reasonable manner? While we contemplate what else they might be doing, we have to ask, why is the immediate rescue element so often hampered by bureaucratic delay, red tape, and jurisdictional dispute? If there's one maxim that's held true in U.S. history, in spite of changing times and attitudes, It's that the federal government rules by emergency. Problem, reaction, solution. Never, never let a good crisis go to waste. Maybe that sounds too esoteric. Disasters plus crisis generate opportunities to govern. Drastic times call for drastic measures, and new powers can be cultivated and engineered like a carefully planted crop.
I think you all know that I've always felt the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
I think people always want flashy conspiracy theories, something sexy, something Hollywood can make a blockbuster out of. But if you ever talk to people like Catherine Austin Fitz, you'll find out right away that what's really going on is burying people in some kind of financial minutia that most people fall asleep listening to, so they don't hear the punchline when it comes.
Scott Richardson and Meta Gatchenberger took a few seconds to take in what's left of the place they called home for 25 years.
And unbelievably, or believably, I guess depending on how much of a capacity you have to be shocked anymore, in the wake of Hurricane Helene, you have insurance companies calling people up who have had their house slide off a mountain and cancel their homeowners insurance policies on them.
Couple's home is one of thousands destroyed by a landslide caused by Hurricane Helene. So just days after the storm hit, their insurance company canceled their homeowners policy, despite the couple not having landslide coverage.
And earlier this year, the North Carolina Rate Bureau proposed a massive hike in people's homeowners insurance rates to an average tune of 42.2%. On the coastal areas, all the way up to 99.4% in places.
Insurance for North Carolina homeowners could be going up. Insurance companies are asking the state to let them raise rates by an average of 42%.
That's how much the state's average homeowners insurance increase would go up if it gets approved. At today's public forum, several people spoke out against the proposed hike, with many saying that's outrageous.
This planned hike is nothing short of bonkers.
We find this proposed increase by the rate board to be outrageous.
We've heard words like devastating from the public comments.
Do you all realistically think that customers can afford increases that high?
That's not really for us to decide. I mean, that's what the commissioner does.
But it's regulated in North Carolina, so the insurance commissioner rejected it, saying the proposed rates were excessive and unfairly discriminatory. But that rejection triggered a judicial hearing process on it. So it's not final. Now they have to have a hearing, which is open to the public. However, it's been scheduled for October 7th for months. And they did not reschedule it after Helene, which means a whole lot of the people who were probably going to go attend that are not going to be able to now. This made people extremely angry when this was announced. They had 24,000 emails of people who were upset and hundreds of people who wrote in and actually mailed something physically to express their concern over not being able to afford these hikes. So they knew people were really, really upset about this. But now that this hurricane has happened, those people are probably not going to be able to attend. On top of that, in 2023, Nationwide, which claims to be on your side,
Nationwide is on your side,
dropped over 10,500 North Carolina homeowners from their policies. They just dropped them. And over half of them were due to hurricane risks, which is something, by the way, that Florida homeowners know all about, considering more than 30 insurance companies have now either fully or partially pulled out of Florida altogether. And Florida now has the highest insurance costs in the entire country, with the average homeowner paying over $10,000 a year in 2023. But worse than that is mudslides and floods are not covered by the average homeowner policy. That is a separate policy that you have to get through the National Flood Insurance Program that's run out of FEMA, which apparently hardly anybody has.
North Carolina and many other states, flood insurance is not required unless the bank requires it.
In fact, less than 3% of properties in the state have that insurance. So many, many people were not protected.
They had basic homeowners insurance, including fire and theft, but no landslide or flood insurance. The National Flood Insurance Program says across seven affected states, less than 1% of homes in the inland counties affected by the storm had flood insurance.
And in fact, according to FEMA, just 4% of homeowners even have this insurance. Flood insurance is not mandatory for most people, although it is if you have a government-backed mortgage. But it's all based on flood zones that are set by FEMA, and the data for those is based on extremely outdated floodplain maps, which have not taken any of the weather in recent years into account. And Wired actually quoted a law professor from the University of North Carolina as saying the biggest non-secret in Washington for decades is how hopelessly out of date these flood maps are. And FEMA knows their flood maps aren't up to date, and it was reported that the director of FEMA knew it in 2022. They've been knowing this for years, and they haven't updated it or fixed it. So the bottom line here is there are a whole lot of people who are not going to be covered after this event. And if your house doesn't get completely wiped out from it, getting water in your house can do tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in damage to a house. And there's just not a lot of people sitting around with hundreds of thousands of dollars ready to pay out of pocket to fix these things. So what's going to happen to their house? What's going to happen to their land? Because somewhere, somebody had this data and they recognized that a lot of these people were not going to be covered after this happened.
Many homeowners will be unable to afford to rebuild and are now at risk of being forced to move out of the area altogether, start over with nothing or next to nothing, and to leave the area that, for many people, their families have been part of for generations and generations. That's what's happening here. It's such a cluster, you would think that this was the most inept coordination of resources ever, or the most Machiavellian evil. I don't know. I don't know.
Finally, before I close out this installment, I just want to say I had someone come on social media today and list off to me all of the things that local, county, and even North Carolina state authorities have been doing to help the situation, and say to me that I basically need to stop criticizing an obviously flawed executive branch. This was the end of that thread. I needed to provide one benefit to the survivors by criticizing an obviously flawed executive branch. But my behavior is lowering morale, delaying recovery, and harming survivors. That's what I was told today. I'm sorry, but after everything that I have seen, everybody I have talked to, hours upon hours of researching what is going on the ground there, it was all I could do not to just scream through my screen to the point that it exploded. The citizen response is amazing. I've seen some amazing responses from local government. You know, the problem is not citizens and local government, although questionable on the North Carolina Guard there with rotor washing the United Cajun Navy. But that aside, okay, it's not about the citizens stepping up. They're amazing. It is about what the bloated, leviathan federal government that is funded to the tune of trillions of taxpayer dollars every year did and did not do. And I wrote back and I said, with all due respect, you had troops not deployed for 5 days, hundreds of Tennessee Guard deployed to the Middle East after the storm hit, FEMA not showing up until the 6th. They're sitting on $8 billion in surplus funds while they fund housing for migrants that are here illegally, okay? All of this is on record. You have dozens of people on the ground, more than dozens. I can't keep track of how many videos I have seen from people on the ground saying that their disaster efforts, their aid efforts are being hampered, okay? It's not a local issue. It's a federal issue. Criticizing an obviously flawed executive branch is because if we don't criticize it now while it's happening, not only will it just get buried when the next one happens and the next one and the next one and the next one and forgotten, but it will just keep happening. It will get worse. It has gotten worse This is not better than Katrina, guys. This is not better, okay? Things have not gotten better, and there were legislative, you know, changes and things. None of that has fixed what this is. This is getting worse. It happens every time. It happens so much, it's to the point now where it's expected for it to be bad. That is not how things should be. So not only will this happen again, but it will get worse if we don't hold these people accountable by criticizing it right now while it's happening. And if social media had existed at the time of Katrina widespread in the way it does now, more probably would have been done. You know, but now we can see it. We can see it all happening. It's unfolding in real time in front of our eyes. Accountability saves lives. That is what the media is supposed to be doing, by the way. They're supposed to be holding government accountable. That is what they're not playing catch-all and making excuses and burying and black-holing every mistake. They're supposed to be holding them accountable. That is what the fourth branch of government, the unofficial fourth branch of the media, was supposed to be. That is the point of it, is to hold them accountable. So you criticize now, okay? Accountability saves lives. Holding this government accountable saves lives. Because hopefully they don't do this again in the future, because there will be too much of an outcry to let them get away with it and continue getting away with it as they have gotten away with it for decades now. Accountability saves lives. This response did not save lives. And in fact, lives may have been lost because of this response. Okay? That is why. That is why. That is my excuse, my one benefit to the survivors for criticizing an obviously flawed executive branch, and I will keep doing it because I am just not going to stop about this. All right, so I am sorry if I have done anything to lower anyone's morale, but I do not think I am the one on the hook for this. I think this is a government issue, and it needs to be fixed. This is not right. And the media is not going to tell anybody that. They're going to sit there like they always do and make excuses for this and then wash it away with the next thing that happens they can distract everybody with, because that is what they always do. You know, I didn't spend the last like 24 hours only taking breaks to eat and go to the bathroom trying to make this video because I want to demoralize people in a horrible disaster situation. I made this video because I don't want this to keep happening to people. I don't want this to be the way we live in this country. That is why I made this video, because I want these people to survive. Because I don't want things to be this way, and people don't deserve things to be this way. So. That's why.